Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Great big shout, we all say, amen. Before I take you to Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25, you might want to just turn there. Before I tell you the title of the message, you know, that's important for you to get a hold of what we're doing and how we're doing. I want to share with you something that I've shared 1,000 times, but I want you to listen closely one more time. I've said it 1,000 times to you. I'll say it 1,000 more times. You've heard me say it if you've been around this church at all. This is the written word of God. It is inspired by God, written by man. But yet at the same time, it's really written by the Holy Spirit. It is the very character, nature, and attributes of God. This is the manual on how you live life. The Bible refers to itself as the hidden mysteries of God. If you've been around at all, you've heard me say that numerous times. Hidden because they're hard to find, mysteries because they're hard to figure out. If you will, it's the secrets of the heart of God. When you find them and apply them in your home, in your family, your marriage, when you apply them in your finances, dreams, and vision, and destiny, it changes the world that you live in. Today, I'm taking you into the hidden mysteries of God. You're going to have to listen. I want to start off, if you will, by looking at a verse from the words of Jesus. Hold your place there in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're coming back there, but I'll put it up on the overhead of the 14th chapter, verse number 12, Jesus' own words. Let's take a look at this, and here's a little shock for you. Most assuredly, when you see Jesus or anyone in the scripture saying most assuredly, he's saying you can count on this, this you can trust. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. If we were really honest with each other, and really honest with our life, you have not seen that come to pass. We shout over that verse. We're excited about that verse. We say that's a great thing, but cut out the baloney and let's tell the truth. That verse has not come to pass in your life and in your church's existence because you do not see doing the works that he does and even greater. In fact, we get a lot of prayer and only a few people get healed. Be honest, as we have prayer times and prayer healings, probably 1 out of 5, and thank God for the 1 out of 5. If somebody didn't pray, there'd be none out of none. But wouldn't it be great if, like Jesus, he went around and he healed everyone? So what's going on with the verse? 4 things that have to take place and could take place about this verse. Number one, to evaluate this verse properly, something you have to come to a decision on something about the verse because the verse has not come to pass. Number one, it could be that Jesus is a liar. Secondly, it could be that the verse has been interpreted the wrong way. Thirdly, it could be that there's a possibility that we have perceived and done something in error. There might be a misunderstanding in translation. Well, I happen to believe that Jesus is not a liar, that it's impossible for him to lie according to the scripture. I happen to believe for hundreds of years, God, the book you have in front of you is the infallible word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and God had a lot of time to make sure it's right. I happen to believe that it was translated correctly, which leaves us only one problem. The church is approaching this word incorrectly. And when you don't understand what it's saying and how it works, you will work things your way instead of his way. And if he blesses you while you're out of sync with God, you'll stay out of sync with God. Are you following me? So therefore, we don't see this verse coming to pass like Jesus promised that it would. Now, how is it going to happen? And how is it going to be evaluated properly? And how is it that we, the church, are going to do greater things than even Jesus did? Because he wants us, obviously, to do that. Now, go back with me, if you will. We're talking about the subject of why church. This is part number two. But we're talking about, if you will, a sub-subject this morning called the power of togetherness, which a lot of people have misunderstood and a lot of people have improperly evaluated the power of togetherness. Let's take a look, if you will, at verse number 24. I'll put it up on the overhead for you. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Watch this, and it says this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. God's desire for us is to stir up love among each other and good works among each other. Obviously, God wants us to move in love, and God wants us to move doing good things because God is a great God and a good God. And he says these words in verse number 25, that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which is an interesting statement. We're talking about why church. Now it's the desire of God, it's the will of God, and we saw last week from Pastor Dan that it is the plan of God for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The word forsake is an interesting word. See it up there? The word forsake makes a statement. We think forsaking the assembling of ourselves is when we do not go to church. That's not what he's talking about. You can go to church and not be at church. You can go to church, listen, are you following me here? You can go to church and still forsake the purpose of the church and the reasoning behind the church. Therefore, never, and the following big word there, is being together. And without the togetherness of the church, there will never be the power that you and I need in our lives. Is anybody listening? Jesus talked about it a number of times. I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus did not just come along and make one statement, a house divided against itself shall not stand. You've heard it said many times. But did you know that Jesus makes that statement over and over and over and over, and sometimes talks about a house divided against itself cannot stand, and also a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Over and over, he's trying to tell us anywhere that there is a division, there will be failure. And the plan is to bring division so that the church would fail in its capabilities that God has given them. And we find ourselves where Jesus is, again, drawing from those mysteries, those hidden mysteries of God, the wisdom of God, the secrets of God, and applying them in our life. Jesus makes a statement, a house divided against itself. Some of you have been in divorced houses where you just couldn't get together and ends up separating. A house divided, a kingdom divided, a business divided, any group that's supposed to be together that has division and constant division will not stand and will not make it. And he makes it very clear that's the heartbeat of God, and he's trying to pass this wisdom along to us. So therefore, he says this word, together is a powerful word that we literally need to be together. No, if you want to know this or not, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. The word together is not just what we think, coming together, sitting in a room, having a bumper sticker on our car, carrying our Bible. There's an intimate relationship that he's talking about in the word togetherness that comes when the church gathers, and should at least, when the church truly gathers together. In order to understand that, I'm going to take you somewhere that I thought was fascinating. About 30 years ago, God ministered this to me, and I did not understand, nor did I see the importance of it until the other day when the Spirit of the Lord quickened it in my heart after all of these years. I had even forgot about it. And then God, boom, brought it to my attention and said, now I want you to share this. So today, get ready. I'm going to take you somewhere about togetherness and the power of togetherness, what it means, how it works, and the importance of it. Because without, listen to me, without it, your kids fail. Your loved ones die. Prayers don't get answered. Without it, this country fails. And without it, all that you know will never be what it could have been without understanding the simple principle that is put before us. I'm going to take you to the Corinthians church as Paul writes to in 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth. It's not Paul that's writing, it's him that's physically writing, yes, but the inspiration I want you to keep in mind is really the Holy Spirit. This is really God speaking to this church. And as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he starts off with the most interesting subject. The Corinthian church, if you don't know this, had a lot of problems. They had sexual perversion in their midst. They had a lot of graphic things going on. They had a lot of money, but yet were still stingy. They were drunk and they were addicted to alcohol because of their wealth. They even got drunk at the communion table. And yet God doesn't start off talking to them about their problems. He starts off in the chapter number one. He starts off with something peculiarly interesting. Togetherness and the power of togetherness. And my friends, today as we look at the word of the Lord, I want to take you and I somewhere, so I want you to listen closely as you hear the word of God. Remember, we're talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The word together is a big word. There's power in togetherness. Togetherness must mean something that we are missing. I've already gone there. Verse number 10, if you will, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 10. Right off the bat, he talks about not their problems, but he talks about togetherness, oneness, unity among the brethren. It starts off with, now I plead. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if you see this or not. I don't know if you understand what you're looking at. But if this is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's really the Holy Spirit that's writing this, even though Paul is the physical writer, then this is God begging the church. And I don't know about you, but if God was begging me to do anything, I would stop him and say, you don't have to beg me. All you have to do is ask me. My goodness, this must be really important to you. And oh God, if you're begging me, and here's God saying, I plead, I beg you. So whatever's coming next, listen to this, is vitally important to you and I in our understanding. Now, when we read the verse, that's one of those verses you read and blow through, and that's a shame because in this verse is an amazing mystery and secret that'll change your entire life and change your entire world as you apply it in your life. The word goes on, if you will. He says, I plead with you. Notice what he says, brethren, meaning that he's talking to those that are believers. He says, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Stop right there. Speak the same thing. In other words, that which comes out of your mouth ought to be the same. that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together. In other words, there's such a relationship, listen to this, there is actually like a DNA perfectly joined together connection. The church, all of us got to see this, just for a thought for a moment. We are all, by the Spirit of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all brought into a new tribe. There's not an old tribe. It's not your old cultural ways. When you get born of the Spirit of God, you now belong to the tribe of Judah. Some people say I'm Italian. Other people say I'm a Yugoslavian. Other people say I'm European. I'm French. I'm English. I'm of this tribe. Deborah says my tribe is the Norwegians. Let me tell you, the real tribe is the tribe of Judah. We're all together, perfectly joined together. But then he comes along and he says, in the same mind. In other words, our thinking should be the same. And then he goes on and he says these words, same judgment. Our evaluation in life ought to be the same. You know, we can all say amen to that and move past the verse. But here's one of the things you've got to see in the verse. Can I make this statement to you? Listen closely. That's an impossibility. It's impossible for us to speak the same thing, think the same thing, have the same judgments, evaluations, be perfectly joined together. It's impossible for people who are so diversely different. I often think to myself, the name of the church ought to be the melting pot. More than anything else, God takes us into this place called the church and his heat comes on and he melts us together into one thing. And oftentimes we don't see ourselves as people that are joined together as one. This isn't about color. This isn't about size. This isn't about age. This isn't about education. This isn't about whether you're an academic or you're failed from school. It's about whether or not you're blood washed, brought into the family of God. And if you are, you are very important to God. And if we don't start to see this, it never works. Now, here's what God is doing. He's asking me to speak the same. He's asking me to think the same. He's asking me to evaluate the same. He's asking me to be joined together. He's asking me to do all of these things that are impossible for me to. I can't do it, neither can you. It's an impossibility. But the problem with that is that God never asks you to do something you can't do. So therefore, every time you read your Bible and you say, I can't do that, or that's too difficult, I don't know how I'm gonna make that work, you know there has got to be a God connection that makes it work. In other words, I can't do it in my own, but the Holy Spirit with me can help me to do it, because the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. I can do all things through Christ who has what? Strengthens me. So therefore, I can do what he says. I just need the Holy Spirit to help me to do it. And without the Holy Spirit, I'm back to my own power. And in my own power, we keep, listen to this, doing church the way we've always done church. And you know what eventually turns out? Whoever's the coolest gets the people. Instead of whoever's the most powerful gets the people. Are we following each other? So let's evaluate the verse. There's something he says right in the middle of the verse that's absolutely wild, that gives us the mysteries and secrets of understanding. Can I just say this to you? When Paul penned this, I'm not sure he even knew what he was saying, the depth of his understanding. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will use us and we don't know what it is we said or how we said it, but it meant so much to someone else that it was God that said it. And it's like, I'm not sure he even really knew this. It'd be a good question to ask Paul when we get into heaven. There's this word that he uses back, go back to A with me, and he says this, I plead with you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all speak the same thing. And you see the words up there, no division. The word no division is an interesting word. If you look at the footnotes in your Bible, it probably has a little footnote there with a number next to it, and you look at it, and the word is schism. And we understand the word schism. It means a breach or a break or a tearing of some kind. Schism is kind of an interesting word. It means something that was put together now is torn, and that's a schism. But in the Greek, it's much different. Like, for an example, we'll have a green color. We'll say green. Everybody imagines green. But in the Greek, green is so many different facets of green. It's just bizarre. And all of a sudden, it takes it from just thinking green to something that's quite exotic from God. The word that God uses is schisma. And the word means no division, that there be. I want you to think the same. I want you to talk the same. I want you to evaluate the same. And I want you to come together as family in such a deep relationship that there's actually a connection between you, like in a with a family member in the church. And the word is schisma. He says there should be no division or schisma. But the word schisma is different because it's a division by rending or tearing something. Refers to garment of clothes that is worn. Now the word rending, are you holding on to this thought? I want you to get this, so I'm gonna repeat it. The word rending is not a word we use all the time. Give me that piece of paper, I'm gonna rend it. We don't use that word in our common language today. We use the word tear. So when he says it rends something, it's what he's really talking about is something that was mended together, something that was all in one piece, and now it's torn apart. And the actual mystery here is the last part of this refers to garment of something that is worn. Now listen to this. In other words, he is making a statement. Talk the same, think the same. You need the Holy Spirit to evaluate the same. You need the Holy Spirit to judge things the right way according to, we're all in this together. There's a connection with us. And when you let division in, something that tears what you wear, it defeats the power that you need to get the job done. Now, wait a minute. Here's the big question. What do we wear? Clothes? What do we wear? If what we wear is being torn, that keeps us from being what God would have us to be, then what in the world is it that we wear that he's talking about? Ah, let me give you an illustration. Watch me. Listen closely. Everything in the Old Testament is a spiritual, a physical activity of something spiritual in the New Testament. What they did, in other words, what they physically did in the Old Testament is a spiritual activity of what takes place spiritually in the New Testament. So when you read your Old Testament, it's really telling you of spiritual principles that take place in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, a king, a priest or a prophet, when he had great problems that were beyond his ability, great problems beyond of his ability, a child died, an army was destroyed, the voice of God was not acted on the right way, and it brought devastation and brought destruction. He would do something. Do you know what he'd do? He'd take his robe and he'd start to rend it, tear it from him. So the king would tear his robe and the priest would tear their robe. And you read that in the Old Testament and you're going, like, what are they doing? These guys are like nuts. But they're saying something about us today, you and me in the New Testament today. And here's how that works. Because what a king wore showed what he was. A king had physical power in this realm that he had. The greatest physical power on the planet was the king. And when he tore his robe, he said, this thing that has come upon me that's devastating, I can't even do anything about it. I don't even have the physical power to do a thing about it. So he tears his clothes to show that he has no power. The priest and the prophet was exactly the same way. When they were devastated about something that had came upon them in their life, they would tear their robe because they're saying, I have no spiritual power to do anything about this thing, this catastrophic thing that has come my way. And here God in the New Testament makes the statement. Remember, we're talking about mysteries. We're talking about secrets of the Word of God. When you find out what they are and you apply them in your life, that changes your whole world. Here we find out something that God makes a statement that we ought to be a certain way. We ought to talk a certain way. We ought to think a certain way. We ought to evaluate things a certain way. We ought to be perfectly joined together. And he says that there should be nothing that tears what you wear off of you, same as in the Old Testament prophets and priests and kings. Wow. Now, a lot of times, what we do is we don't understand the depth of it because we don't understand what we Christians wear, and we don't understand what the power is. Because when you tear and rend the clothing that you wear, you're making a statement, I no longer have the power. I no longer have the ability. I no longer have the strength. So let's check it out. What is it that you and I as Christians wear that stops us from the power of God, that takes us from that verse and causes that verse that Jesus spoke to be of no effect on all of us? Go with me, if you will, Luke 24th chapter. In Luke 24th chapter, at the end of this chapter, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's going to die, be crucified, and he's going to go to heaven. And when he goes, he makes a statement that he must go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, keep in mind, what we said is that God gave us instructions to do something that we can't do. We need, remember this, the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, listen to what Jesus says, if you will, on the question of what do we wear. He says, behold, I send the promise of the Father, that's the Holy Spirit, upon you. Wow. Here's Jesus saying, I'm sending the promise of the Father. You know, the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? Upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be. And then he uses this crazy word, endued. The word endued is a fascinating word. Do you know what it means? It means until you've been clothed. What do we wear? Until we've been clothed, covered like clothing by the Holy Spirit. Now watch this, go back to the verse for me with me. Till you be endued with power from on high. And when we rip what we wear, we tear our power off. Therefore, the word of God, when Jesus says they'll do greater works, they don't do greater works. It's because we're breached, we're broken. There's division among us. In fact, if you want to know the truth, can I say this? And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not picking on denomination or anything. But a lot of times we don't realize even the root word of the word denomination means division. I can't get along with them because they believe something different than what we believe. Yet what they believe is not even essential to salvation. It has nothing to do with it. And we divide ourselves over the silliest, stupidest things. Instead of loving and supporting each other, we divide ourselves all the time. And every time we divide ourselves, we're tearing apart the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when we pray for your children to have healing with cancer, they don't get it. When we pray for people to get healed, and they don't get it. And one out of four or five people get healed, and we say, thank God, thank God. But what do you know? My Bible says Jesus went about and he healed them all. With that in mind, let's take a look at the beginning of the church. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. Now let's take a look in Acts 1st chapter verse 8, just pop it up on the overhead. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit does what? Comes upon you. And you'll be witnesses. You won't be witnesses of me. You won't be witnesses. You aren't going to be out there telling people. You're not going to be out there doing things. Only when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Which is fascinating. The birth of the church started the second chapter of Acts. Can I show you something interesting I think you'll find fascinating? A lot of times we don't understand what's being said. Let's see if we can find the mysteries and secrets of the Word of God. The second chapter of Acts, verse number 1 says these words. Watch this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, now remember, he already placed them in this place. He already told them where they were supposed to be. This has absolutely nothing to do with the place. Now it has to do with the connection. They were with one accord. You know what one accord is referring? The same spine that feeds the body. We read that, we think, oh, they're in one accord. We don't think it's that important. No, no, we're different. We're different than them. They're different than us. We just attend the same church. When in fact, may I say this again to you one more time? Oftentimes we're forsaking the assembly of together because we are really not in church being the church. When in Pentecost had fully come, verse number 2, just pop it up. And suddenly there came a sound after they were in one accord. From heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let me show you something else that's kind of interesting. You just go through the Bible over and over and over again. You're going to see the words in one accord, in one accord, in one accord. What are we talking about? We're talking about togetherness. Togetherness means that we talk the same. We feel the same. We think the same. We've got the same evaluations. We realize that our connection with each other is not just your connected family over here and my connected family over here. We attend the same church, but we are brothers and sisters of the Lord. We are family together. And we get past all of the stuff that we're in. Listen, there is not different races in this church. There's only one race. It's the human race. And for us, there's one culture. It's the Christian culture where we become all like-minded and we speak and we think and the power of God flows through us. And instead of just praying and not getting results, we pray and we get amazing results. Let's take a look at it. Acts, the 8th chapter, verse number 5. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, there's Philip going down, he's preaching Jesus to these people. They didn't know anything. They had no concept about nothing. They didn't know the apostles from the epistles. They thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles. They had no idea about nothing. And here we are in Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 6. Pop that up. And the multitude, isn't it funny that God puts that in there again? With one accord. Listened and heeded to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles, oh my goodness, that he did. That's pretty cool. Can you imagine a church if we got together and people could hear and see the miracles? You couldn't keep people out of this place. You would have everybody in San Bernardino running because that's why they're all shooting up, because they're looking for a miracle. They're looking for something that'll help them get by. The thing that helps them get by is Jesus Christ. But they'll never get it until we get it. Because we're the instruments of distributing of his goods. Now it comes along verse number 7. Watch this. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. Can you imagine how noisy that was? And how weird that would be. Loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Can you imagine having a church service like that? I'll tell you what, you wouldn't get in the place. 11 services we have a week, we'd have to have 40. Verse number 8, just for fun. And the whole city was filled with joy. All because of those little words, one accord. Can I just say something and be honest with you? We're not. We're not. Hey, we're a cool church. We're a good church. Can I just say this? We're a healthy church in every area. And God wants to take the Rock Church and World Outreach Center to a new level of His divine power. I believe it with all of my heart. Where you see these things take place, not because man manufactures them, because there's a real move of the Spirit. Now go back with me, if you will, into 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse number 10. Let's read it again. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, out of your mouth, how easy it is for out of our mouth to say something. I was brought up in a denomination. A guy in the last service, I just got through preaching this. Listen to me, I'm telling on myself. I just got through ministry, I'm at the back door greeting. Guy comes up, tells me about his denomination. I came out of that denomination. I'll give you a hint what it was. I came out and he started kind of going off. And man, I went off. And my wife's next to me and said, you just tore the power of God. How easy it was to get back into our old ways and how we don't even think about what comes out of our mouth. There'd be nothing that tears away what we wear. Listen to this word. Go back to B with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians 1B. And that you'd be perfectly joined together. Can I just say something? That means we get past the hang-ups and the looks and we realize we're family. And we, can I say this? We are different. But oh my goodness, are we fun when we're together. Yes. Same mind, thinking the same thing and have the same judgments. How do we do that? Only by the Holy Spirit. And every time we open our mouth, judge, or criticize, we're tearing the power of God from our own life. We're like a bunch of batteries by ourselves. When you hook them all together, you can run the machine. But by themselves, they don't do any good at all. And we're a bunch of batteries by ourselves. And we need to be powerized by the Holy Spirit together. It's going to run the big machine that's going to get the job done. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Why church?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.